To be the host for you today. Get ready for some more fun. You know that there's a theme that we put with the show to inspire you and to bring value to you. Daily I pray, Lord, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to vibrantly healthy, wealthy living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so that we get to enjoy a global loving community. Today we are in for a big, big treat. I'm so excited to introduce you to a gentleman that came into my life recently and has been a fabulous blessing. His name is Daniel Jacob, and he's a conscious channel, writer, visionary, and a bioenergetic body worker who lives in the greater Seattle area. Now, he's a father of two sons, ages 28 to 32, and he founded and is a practicing member of Myo Rehab Therapy Associates. Oh, that sounds official. And they're in Kirkland, Washington. And it's a multi-therapist clinic which specializes in muscular rehabilitation, stress management, and personal transition work. And he's been in practice for 22 years, so this man's got some experience, folks. And on 11/11/91, he began working with a group of energies who called themselves the Reconnections. Well, we're going to find out more about that. Daniel developed a complete archive of information from them on a number of relevant topics. He and his associates have been doing research with people around the world, collecting data, collating that data, comparing notes on the topics of physical transmutation, there's a word, and earth changes. And in 2003, Daniel produced a two-part CD, which I've listened to part one of that, and it is fabulous. And he explains the story of the Star Children in depth. Oh, we're going to learn about that today from him. And he calls it a tonal infusion for the new age. You can get more information about Daniel Jacob and his work by visiting his websites. Get ready. And if you have paper, fine. If not, if you just happen to write on your hand or a wall, it's okay. www.thestarchildren.com. And the second website, www.reconnections.net. That's reconnections.net. Or, of course, you can email him directly at daniel@reconnections.net. Anyway, hang on to your consciousness and get ready for an uplifting time. Daniel, hello and welcome.
Oh, thanks, Ken. I can tell just by the happy sound in your voice that it'll be fun if we can get you giggling this hour. So it's just a happy, have fun kind of a thing. And thanks for all the information out there. I feel like I don't have to give much background now because you put it all out there so nicely.
Well, thank thank you. And just to let my listeners know, I've got some questions to check in with you. For those of them that listen and have access to the internet, please, I invite you to go to the reconnections.net, www.reconnections.net, and there on that home page, when you're there, take a look, because you'll see a place that says about Daniel Jacob. Now, my recommendation, you can go anywhere you want on that website, but I'd suggest that you go first to that one about Daniel Jacob, scroll down a teeny bit, and then click on Laugh of the Moment. Just to inflict a lot of joy on yourself right from the start. It kind of set the mood, and that's going to help you to get the picture of what Daniel is like at the core level of his essence, is this wonderful joy. Daniel, help me a little bit. What inspired you to do what you're doing?
Well, I think I've always been someone who was reaching beyond the box, the reality box. And when I was young, I was into various kinds of religious studies started out in the Catholic religion and then went on into Protestantism and studied lots of philosophy and lots of religious backgrounds. By the time I began to get into metaphysics seriously in the late 80s, about the time of the harmonic convergence. And there's always just been something innately in me. I've got a link on the website that quotes the character Morpheus in The Matrix.
Yes.
He's talking to Neo, and he's saying, "Let me tell you why you're here." You know, and he basically says, "There's always been this comprehension inside you about there's something wrong with the world. There's something that doesn't seem to be quite right." I like to think of it as something's missing, like the rest of what I am.
Yeah.
And he used the very poetic expression, like a splinter in the mind. And it is. It's something that drives us and motivates us to reach beyond who we are presently to grasp the rest of who we are. And so when I met the Reconnections in 1991, I was on a trip to Santa Fe, New Mexico, traveling across that beautiful red painted desert. And I began to feel as though I was getting downloaded by vibrations from above, down from my crown, going through me. And they basically said to me, we represent all those parts of your expanded self that you had to forget in order to become Daniel. And so I began to realize that the human journey is more like a microscopic slide of certain aspects of beingness that are studied up close and personal. But there's a whole lot of data out there to pull from when we zero in. So anything that seems to be the only way it could ever be is illusion, not because it doesn't exist, but because it seems to imply that that's all that exists there. Because in any given space, or any given situation, there's always more than meets the eye. And so the guides have been a great message to me about the idea of there's always something else. There's always one more chair to put at the table. There's always another guest that's willing to sit down if you're willing to be able to entertain him or her.
And then you've just been getting this information brought to you through these channelings on a regular basis since 1991.
It seeps in, yes. It's like ever since then I've been writing. I went right out after having begun to channel the guides verbally in a hypnotherapy session with a friend of mine. I went right out and got a laptop computer and started writing what I called transmissions. And they look like letters. They usually all begin with the phrase, "my dear friends," or "my dear friend." And then they basically say, now we'd like to talk to you about this, or comes time now for us to fill you in regarding this. And what comes through is stuff, sometimes I like to say it's something I wouldn't have thought up if I wanted to, or couldn't have thought up if I wanted to, you know. It's just stuff that demands attention, and so I give it attention.
Wow. And then you share some of this on your website, or?
Yes, I've been sharing it on the web since about 95, right after the 12/12 activation, December of 94. I began to notice huge changes in my energy field. And I put a message out on the Usenet news group saying, is there anybody else out there feeling this? And frankly, Ken, I think that one of the things that tortures people the most during times of energetic change is that they don't get that this is something that's happening all over the world. They sort of think it's only happening to them. So I kind of immunized myself against falling into that by just continually reaching out and saying, is there anybody else out there doing this? And the response was remarkable from all over the planet, and they were so similar in terms of what they were feeling and experiencing that I just I immediately knew that part of my mission was to remind people, particularly people who are in obscure places. Like, I have a fellow who regularly writes me who lives 2 hours from the North Pole, you know.
Oh.
And people in obscure places who don't have communities that are doing metaphysical work around them but do tune into the Internet. And to just remind them, you're not alone. There are others going through this as well.
Yes. Well, your CD, The Star Children, to me, the first part that I listened to, CD1, that was profound in terms of the information to help us to reconnect to who we are and to have some a little bit of a roadmap to make it through some of these times.
Yeah, the Star Children were very interesting because they began to come to me about 1997, and I was writing a series of articles called Energy Activations. And one of the chapters I began writing was about the Star Children. And the material just kept flowing and flowing and flowing until it became what's on the CD. And actually, I've written many more things since then. I regularly contribute to an online magazine called childrenofthenewearth.com, and also Planet Lightworker, which was the first place to have a Children of the New Earth section where we began talking about indigos and crystal children and star children and, rainbow children. There's so many different subsets, you know. Each one sort of focused on a little something different.
Yeah.
But the kids are where it's at today, you know, because they're so open and they don't have a lot of the same conceptual blocks that we had to put up just to survive when we were young.
Sure. Well, I'm just wondering, can you give a few hints that could help perhaps the baby boomers for dealing with some of the things that many of them went through when they were growing up?
Well, yes, there are some things that people need to know. I was totally delighted this last weekend because I picked up a copy of this movie, Freedom Riders. And it stars Hilary Swank. And it's about a young teacher who begins her teaching career sort of in the inner city part of where the various minorities, what we would consider minorities, in many of our outlying regions, congregate, and where they have kind of like a war zone going on. And what was interesting is she went into a high school that was famous for the fact that the kids didn't want to hear what you wanted to teach them. And so they weren't spending a lot of resources because they knew the kids would drop out anyway. And here comes this bright young woman, and she comes into the situation and reasons very accurately that if you're trying to tell something to someone and they won't listen, it's probably because they have something to tell you. And so what she did was she gave each of them a journal. And she said, we want you to begin writing your story as it actually is. And if you want me to read it, I'll be happy to. But if you don't want me to read it, I'll just skim through it and mark off that you've made entries. But if you want me to read it, I'll be happy to do that. Well, interestingly enough, the school that they filmed this at was a crosstown rival of the school where I grew up in Long Beach, California, Woodrow Wilson High School, which back in my day was sort of a haven for rich white kids. But now they became what we were. Long Beach Poly High School was the inner city experimental school, and I went to school with all races, had friends that were all races, and I'm very grateful for that background. But interestingly enough, she makes incredible ground with them because she's not in this place of arrogance that the adult community has where they say, you need to hear what we have to say. We're going to tell you how the world works. Because the kids who've been coming in, beginning with Generation X, Y, and Z, they're carrying a new vibration. They have something to say to us.
And, so older is not always wiser? Or?
Older is not always wiser, as we can tell when we look at the world today.
If we were so smart, would it have been?
We were so smart. Older is not always wiser. So one of the biggest things is listen and watch them, particularly when they're not aware that you're doing so, because they will naturally, in and of themselves, bring through these new patterns and tones of spiritual energy. They may not even understand them yet, because most of the star kids are not awake yet. Many are, and they're coming to themselves, but most have been given sleeping pills of the mind and heart until such time as they were ready to begin their work. So I get letters from people all the time saying, I just woke up and I'm ready to get going, you know. And then there are others who say, this is a bunch of poppycock, I don't want to see it, I don't want to read it. Why are you putting this out here? Why are you trying to classify us and this, that, and the other? And I just go, you know, approach it any way you want to approach it and sleep on if you must, because there will come a time when the alarm will ring. And then when it does, you'll use your words, not mine. I'm just doing this as part of my journey. And that's the next insight I would give to any adults, is when you're dealing with young people, you're not going after them to make them adults. You're going after you, the part of you that was perhaps put to sleep long ago, what we call the stolen child aspect, the magical child, who had to keep his mouth shut, forget about invisible friends, forget about imagination, forget about some of the creative thoughts that might have come in order to keep from angering the adults and people in authority around you.
Oh, yeah, and that can be dangerous, affecting the status quo or people's comfort zones.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And kids pick that up right away, so they learn how to keep quiet about it until they're in a place where they're with someone who they think that they can trust. And then they'll let it out a little bit at a time.
Yeah, well, I had a theory. When I'd look at the Bible, and I was particularly drawn to that part where in John 14:12, Christ put forward and said, yeah, I've done all these miracles. Well, if you learn from me, these and greater things than I've done, you'll do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, well, there's an endorsement from an individual that went on to become revered and a center of many religions. And yet, to me, it was like beckoning. Okay, he did that. Okay, we can do more. And then I thought, and I looked, and there was different examples in the world that said if someone really excels and is really bright, they may either offend those around them or be taken advantage of, or who knows what. I mean, so many examples that basically said, unless you have a safe setting in which to let your genius out, it may be better to keep it under wraps.
Well, and I just saw another movie. I think movies are so important right now because they're bringing in some of these important themes. It was called Talking to Heaven, and it was the story of James Van Praagh, the well-known psychic communicator. And it's a beautiful example of a young kid growing up in a household where he was continually silenced or persecuted because of his knowingnesses about people. And later he found out that his mother, who had been on medication for years, was the carrier of this gift, and she'd never come to peace with it until after she crossed over. And his dad, who was played exquisitely by Jack Palance, who is the quintessential macho, don't tell me about that dad, turns out to be quite a supporter of the process in the end. But the evolution of him coming to grips with what he knew and trusting the authority of the things that were coming through him, it was a slow and arduous process, as it is for a lot of these kids who might even begin to say to themselves, why me? Why would I have this power and other people don't seem to have that power?
Learned to tap into it yet.
And learn how to tap into it, and then deal with, of course, the stuff that goes on in people when they see that you have a power. You know, they either run from you in fear, or they want to put you up on a pedestal and make money off of you, or ingratiate themselves to you in some way. And usually a genuine soul who is a carrier of that tone doesn't want either of those things. He just wants to just be alongside you, and if he knows something, he'll tell you, or she, and just make it natural. But people still are intimidated by that information today, so it makes some of the young people very quiet, very inward. And we just recently, this past week, with all these shootings over at Virginia Tech.
Yes, I was noticing that on your website.
We have an opportunity of seeing how what people are considering to be mental illness in some of these kids could also be a sense of heightened awareness and even ability that hasn't awakened yet or has awakened halfway and is sort of operating in a nightmare reality. And many of the kind of disorders that they're being treated for with medication could better perhaps be served by a healthy dose of acceptance and explanation of what these gifts are, and then insertion of the young person into an environment where they can feel comfortable to express themselves fully, you know, and where people won't be intimidated about that. And some of the tones that these kids bring through are very dark. Many of them are very goth, fantasy, dragons, monsters, aliens. They think in terms of dark things as well as light, mainly because our world is so dedicated to squashing down the shadow side of humanity, and so it has to pop out from time to time in these surprise places.
Okay.
And so.
Interesting.
A good deal of what the reconnections talk about is doing, working and integrating you with your shadow, which doesn't mean you have to go out and act on it like Cho did at Virginia Tech, but just to recognize and know that it's there, and know that it's there in all human beings, not just you. You know, deal with the primal aspects as well as the exalted, more cosmic consciousness. It's all there, you know. And
yeah.
Acknowledge it before it has to jump out of the closet at you.
Well, certainly a question comes up in terms of these new energies are coming. There's changes that are going on. We see climate changes, earth changes, personal changes, political changes, all kinds of change, and then these energies of these new children, Generation X, and their siblings Y, and their siblings Generation Z, coming in to open a pathway to a different way of living.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, is there any bit of helpful hints? Because right now the power structure on the planet, which has been operating for quite a long time, is well entrenched, and currently I don't know that they see any benefit to making dramatic changes in how they've been operating. I don't know if you can shine any light from what you've been getting from the reconnections on how these energies can emerge and in the midst of this kind of global political environment.
Well, that's a great question. It's so right on with what's happening. I think we're going to find, as the next few years unwind in front of us, unfold, that the power structure is not as entrenched as it appears to be. That it's paper thin in its ability to be able to enforce itself, just because we have pretty much run the course of the control paradigm. And what we haven't integrated properly is the idea of release, or even an energy which is called chaos energy. And so a lot of this has been studied in math and in physics as being the next force that longs to be added to the mix, not to replace things such as the production of a political anarchy or destruction of our Earth, but more as, you know, an ingredient that's added in to spice up the soup. And so as people are reaching to have more and more control and to return us to what they call traditional family values or traditional moral values, the things they had as a foundation growing up, the more they're going to find out that many of those foundations have cracked open with the appearance of the budding new plants that are coming up from underneath. And they're not cracking open because they're defective. The Piscean Age and the principles around which it was built, I will make you fishers of men, you know, containment within systems. We'll put out a net and we'll bring people in, and we'll have organizations, and those organizations will have rules, and those rules will have consequences and enforcement. The beginning of the Aquarian Age is about the pouring out of the water from the container, freeing it, letting it join freely with the river and the ocean and the vastness of life. And we tried this infusion back in the 60s, when it was very personal and individual awakenings. And so there was free love, free sex, free this and free that. And then people discovered that maybe it isn't so free, and that there are backlashes and responsibilities that come when you practice things in certain ways. And so we then snapped back to the 70s and the 80s, and then as we entered into the 90s, we began to say, well, if not that way, then how shall we do it? And basically, it's something that's changing from within. We're never going to see what we're looking for through outward control and structure alone. Not because it's wrong, but because we've already done that. What we're going to start seeing now is, as we let go of the outward structure, a sort of inward harmonization begins to appear. It begins to materialize right in front of our face, and this thing called synchronicity begins to come in. And universal oneness, which is a major theme from the reconnections, that we are all one at our core, and that what we have on the outside as far as personalities, these are masks we wear, experiential journeys we go on. But when we all come back to it, we're all essentially the same one being, with many different masks and disguises to wear and to play with. So with the coming in of these new tones, you're going to see much more of an emphasis on feeling as opposed to logic and structure. Not so much with the idea of being 100% guided by your feelings, but influenced certainly by them, colored by them, textured by feeling, so that a person can have access to both the masculine and feminine energies within, rather than being all one or all the other, you know. So even in the world of relationships, the guides don't talk so much about looking for your partner, but rather becoming a wholener unto yourself, and then dancing and playing with the reflections of self that appear around you.
Okay, so does that speak to a difference in community where we've had a traditional marriage and family?
It can, but doesn't necessarily have to. We understand that one of the biggest messages the guides say is that our purpose in coming into your life now is not to take anything away from you that's working, but rather to give you more alternatives of what could also work if you were to be so inclined. We're not here to, I think I read this somewhere, somebody said, oh, I know, it was the Native American protest community. They were talking about, we're not here to destroy the country. The corporate community and greed is doing such a good job of that. We wouldn't have to do that. I think that was actually John Trudell, who is a very, very well-known Native American spokesman, who was talking about, you know, the plight of the indigenous peoples and what they were doing for. They're saying, basically, we're here to talk about a return to the earth and a connection and response to the earth, which is interesting because then that would mean that you would have more of an emphasis on the sensory, more of an emphasis on instinct, more of an emphasis on the grounded physical aspects of ourselves. With this technology and stuff, we keep rising up out of our bodies, and we go into our heads to the point where we can't feel anymore. And this is really becoming a hindrance today. So many people are saying, with all this technology, you'd think we'd be happier. But we're not happier. We're just more bogged down with details, the information age.
Yeah.
So you're going to find a lot of the tones that are coming in are going to purposefully bring people back to their feeling self. And unfortunately, a lot of that involves trauma, whether it would be Hurricane Katrina or the tsunami over in the in Thailand and Indonesia, whether it would be an event like what happened in Virginia. It is all sort of orchestrated by the one self consciousness, but not necessarily with any kind of conspiratorial end. It's just there because it's there. But the side benefit of it is that people are taken out of their head and put back in their heart.
Yeah,
and if you look on the website, I have a picture of people standing out there in front of the school with little lanterns lit. And I dare say maybe there's a lot of lanterns in that town that were never, that hadn't been lit in a long time. A lot of hearts that hadn't been opened who were opened greatly as a result of the passing of these people, and no one would ever consciously want to call for something like that. But there is providence and there's circumstance that brings it about. And the result is that people begin to connect again, just like around 9/11.
Say, now, there was an old movie, I think in the 50s, called The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Loved that movie.
And Klaatu Varada Nikto. They want to turn off the robot to stop it from destroying the Earth. But anyway, it's an old piece of trivia. To me, there was an external...
I love that trivia.
Thank you. there was an external force that came in and said, folks, if you don't get your act together, you're going to make a mess outside your own planet. We can't allow that to happen. And we got to let you know we won't let that happen, so you better get your act together. I mean, that was, you know, one approach. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened, and that was much less messy. So now it sounds like that same effect is going to happen, but on a more what we might call messy basis or traumatic basis, where the, I guess, the harsh realities of human interaction are expressed at a planetary level.
I was given by the Reconnections that back in the early 80s, if you want to look at it in a linear sequence, humanity made the decision not to completely destroy ourselves, but rather to allow, you might say on a mass consciousness level, incisions, strategic incisions of trauma into the Earth consciousness that would produce openings wherein these new vibrations could flow. Just like there's a veil of forgetfulness that surrounds the consciousness of an individual in physical form, and sometimes there will be a traumatic injury that will cut a hole in the veil so that new energies flow in. Sometimes that happens with drug use, sometimes it happens with genetics or whatever. And even those people we call schizophrenic are often people who are just getting huge influx of information about other dimensions that they don't know what to do with. And so it's flooding into their consciousness and they're feeling so uneasy with it that they need help and medication, and they get a little strange within our world. But that veil, you know, the breaking down of that veil that separates this life from the rest of the lives that are going on the radio dial of existence. That's happening at the level of the ozone, where there's openings in our ozone layer that are allowing more sunshine to come through. It's happening at the level of spiritual consciousness, where more vibrations are coming through to our remembrance, like, you create your own reality, the secret, you know, what's coming forth now. You're more than you think you are, and so on and so forth. These kinds of remembrances coming in. And then on the physical level, even, you see these various conditions that are breaking down the immune system, which is our body's veil of forgetfulness or veil of containment. And so there's an opening occurring here, and into those openings are infusing a bit of what's out there, what we've always considered to be not us, not self. And as the not self comes in, we have a choice. We either round it up and kick it out, and that's what medical science has been trying to do with many of these diseases for these many years. Or we have to integrate what's coming in with and make a new definition of who and what we are, you know. And that, which is called becoming immune, actually strengthens the organism, makes it more resilient, more powerful, because now you have new resources, new things to draw on, not just the old basics and standards. Now you have something new to work with. And so the idea of transmutation is that idea of taking on the rest of who you are and then rearranging your definition and view of self to accommodate that. I love Salvador Dali's old statement that used to say, the difference between me and an insane man is I am not insane. And we all know how brilliant Dali was and his incredible abstract images of reality, particularly in regards to time. But he was a character, you know, and it's true. You know, if a person is getting comprehensions within himself that are brilliant and unusual and new, he can either be frightened by them and run and hide and need medication, or he can stand up, write a book, and change the world. It's all in how he holds himself. and what he feels about what's going on, if he has the confidence that what's coming through is correct, the rest of the world will sit there. They may fight him for a little while, but little by little they start to take it on too. It's the 100th monkey, you know, theory.
Yeah.
And so yeah. That's what we're basically doing when we're putting these things out there, and we're just washing our sweet potatoes in public. And then others come along and say, I think sweet potatoes taste better washed, you know. And so they try it, and then it works. And so that's how evolution takes place. And today, as opposed to the 60s, this isn't about revolution. It's about evolution, which is why there's not more protests going on in the world in the face of what seem like outrageous circumstances, is because this people are going inward instead of outward now. And the fruit of that inward search has not quite made itself known, but I would venture to say within the next couple of years we're going to see some wonderful sprouting of new fruit coming out in all areas of society, but particularly in our young people. That's going to
be
powerful.
So you would be more optimistic, because so many of the predictions talk about 2012 or end of major calamity, revelation, on and on. I mean, just lots of them talk about very dark times where the whatever half, two-thirds or more of the global population wiped out by who knows what disease, famine, pestilence.
But when they're wiped out, where do they go? You know, when they get wiped out from one person's physical universe, they don't go into non-existence. They just simply leap into another reality. Now, the interesting part, the recon sent through a transmission called What's Ahead for the Planet Earth, wherein they talk about the idea that the Earth as we know it is not going to be just one objective reality that everybody has to ride on and share, but it's soon going to fragment into a number of alternative Earths, like trains leaving Grand Central Station. And you can buy a ticket and leave on the train that you want to leave on based on the vibration you carry and the beliefs you hold. And so if you want to go out in a blaze of lava and splinters and lightning, you can do that. And if you want to ride out on something a little more comfortable, you can choose that one too. And each one is true, you know, because each one, in the multiverse, there's a universe that honors every belief and then some. So all you have to do is really, truly subscribe to it. And yes, in some universes, it'll appear like all the world's been wiped out. And you're the only one left. But in the reality of all the rest of the world, each of them is on a train headed for somewhere they know not where. Or they know where, but you know not where. So one of the wonderful statements of the guides is they said, have you ever noticed that death is always something that happens to someone else in your perceptual universe, you know, until it happens to you? And then when it happens to you, what's to say that you're not going to close your eyes seemingly in a hospital bed and drift off and then open your eyes suddenly waking up from a dream and saying, oh, my God, I just dreamt I was in a hospital bed and there were people all around me, but I better get up, take a shower, and go to work. I'm late. And that's how quickly it can happen, you know. So anyway, there are a lot of realities that are being challenged, and some of it will seem like a tremendous trauma. And others, it will be like a gentle passage from one thing to the next. It's all in what a person individually requires.
Yeah, so two things jump to mind as you're saying that the old statement from Burger King, have it your way, applies more than ever.
Burger King reality or mentality, perfect.
Yes.
And that's truly how I believe it'll be. It's what you believe and where you're at, not just necessarily in the ego aspect, because the ego aspect is the part that was put here that's designed to be surprised and delighted or frightened, to have actual experiences of discovery. So the ego has to have blinders on to some degree in order to have those fresh experiences. But there are more informed and more expanded aspects of self that are out there administrating these changes from a more informed place. And so we can truly relax into whatever it is that's before us. Because it's all going to, we might say, work itself out in the wash.
Sure. Layers and dimensions of things going on at different levels, like was mentioned in What the Bleep or in the Secret, that from the smallest of the small energy, the inside of an atom, to universes inside of universes, vast in scale, that there's many different levels of perception to take a look at, and it appears like you're calling that to our attention today.
Well, and there's a thing the guides call a soul train, which means the mind goes first, then the emotions, and then eventually the body follows, kind of like vapor, water, and ice. And they're all basically the same substance, but they're vibrating at different rates of speed. And so the mind of humanity is skipping all over the place and absorbing all of these expanded concepts and going, ooh, yeah, I got that. But the emotional and physical aspect of us is quite a ways behind, you know, still coming up, you know, it's coming down the track, but it's moving at a much slower rate, much more sentient rate, so that when I say something to someone about, well, you know, death is illusion, what are you going to say to those parents, you know, in Virginia who are burying their children? You know, it all seems academic when you talk at that level. And I talked to a woman in a workshop who was telling me that she was on the phone with her grandson the morning of the 9/11, and the grandson was up in the tower, and he was scared, and he went to his death, and he wasn't joyful, or he didn't sound like somebody getting on a train going on a vacation. So that's the emotional factor there. But the fact is that she was once again experiencing it from her universe, which is still very much attached to limitation, 3D, and all the drama going on here. And we work through it at that level, that emotional level. Even if mentally we're already to the place where we're ready to consider, well, there is more, and maybe all things do work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But it still seems academic when you're in the middle of the blood, you know? And that's the part we visionaries need to remember when we're talking to people, is that there's a lag time between what you're willing to believe mentally and what you can embrace on an emotional level. So we wait. We wait. We give ourselves time.
Yeah. Now, I know a number of folks listening are going to be impressed with what they hear from you, and they may not know that they can contact you for personal readings. That's correct, isn't it?
Oh, yes, that is. That's absolutely true. We also have a discussion group online on the Yahoo system called Reconnections, which you can access via the webpage. So the people who've hung out with me over a course of years can get out and talk every day online if they want to do those kinds of things. But individual sessions are available over the phone or in person or in the email, as well as events that we put together where people come together into what's called conclaves, and we share not only each other's energy, but reconnection thought there as well.
Oh, now, I didn't know if you wanted to share for people to schedule appointments. Is it still appropriate for them to call? Is it Nina?
Nina Florenz, and her phone number is 425-820-1203, and that's in Seattle. She schedules or takes requests for information because I'm frequently in session. Or you can just email me at daniel@reconnections.net, and we can schedule it online. Either way you want to do it.
Sure.
And I'm happy to do that. That sort of gives seat to this thing, because sometimes it can be a little overwhelming. I know after having worked with the guides for 15 plus years, I still have a lot of processing to do in integrating this stuff. Somebody who comes in to it fresh may have a lot to sort through, particularly if they're in a time of transition, which is kind of my specialty. We call it midwifing through transition.
Yes, and so transition doesn't necessarily mean a physical passing away.
No, it's oftentimes it's a birthing of new aspects of yourself coming through. Might be changing the way you relate to people. It might be changing your priorities. It might, you know, some people, they quit their job, sell their house, and go out on the road, you know. I've seen people do all sorts of things, and because they needed to express the new energy that was coming through. And we support that and try to keep people from being a little too impulsive, maybe, but to be wise. And yet there are times when you just have to, you know, let her go and follow your inclinations, because there's lessons in store.
Sure. Well, that's important. And I want to invite people again to visit you at the website www.reconnections.net, or the other website www.thestarchildren.com, all small letters, no spaces in there. And certainly want to invite people. They can order that Star Children CD off your website.
Yes, there are links. And also you can go to CD Baby and get it, who's our distributor, www.cdbaby.com, and just type in the Star Children, and that'll take you right in. You can listen to some cuts from the CD, and you can also order right there, either over the phone or online.
Oh, good. I can't wait to listen to disc two. Disc one was both heartwarming, really touched me. And I think there's so many valuable lessons that just a person listening to that and taking some of that to heart is gonna help them. Who knows? It could save them how many hours of therapeutic processes just taking some good information to heart that you've shared on there, because it really, really touched me. And so I want to highly recommend that to all the listeners out there, to both get in touch and explore going to Daniel's website, especially clicking on About Daniel. And if you do nothing more, then go to the humor section under About Daniel. That is going to lift your life a huge amount right there. And of course, once you've chuckled for a while, you can go take a look at more on the website from a new perspective. Especially, there's a part in there that shows an event of 4,000 flash mob dancers in London, of basically 4,000 people with iPod headsets on dancing away. And having,
yeah, that was about a month ago they did that, and it was time for a pressure release in London. Everybody's been very uptight of late, and what a surprise that was. That was a kick. There's actually a video there you can click on and watch them do it, and the police allowed it for 2 hours, and then after that a busload came and took them out of Victoria Station because it was rush hour. But most of the people would just stop and laugh, and some of them even joined in the dance, and that's a good sign, you know. That's really a good sign. The water's being let out of the pitcher and the flowing.
Yeah, there's a kind of eruption that we could have a lot more of.
Yeah, that's not a trauma. that's a trance dance.
Yeah. And
little
so
drama.
Yes, but a lot of activity and a lot of energy released. Just nice to know. So, beloved listeners, as we wrap up, I want to take a moment and thank you, Daniel, for your entrance into my life and the opportunity to share you with those out there of my listeners.
Thank you too, Ken. It's been great.
And my listeners, invite you, of course, to check out advancedliving.com. I jokingly say I tried retarded living for a long time, and I think advanced living is a lot more fun. And so go to that website and check it out, and keep tuning in and telling more people and checking out Daniel's website. And in the meantime, just wish you a blessed, happy week and look forward to you tuning in next Saturday. Peace and blessings to you all. Daniel, thank you.
Thank you.
Goodbye. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let go and let God. Let go.